Good morning. Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, number 358, I Am Thine, O Lord. Let's stand and sing together.
Everyone, maybe we do that again, get you awake. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Now we're awake. Good to see all of your smiling faces here this morning. Welcome to this morning's worship service. Couple announcements as we begin here, if you have your bulletins. One correction I need to make is the leadership team meeting will be this week on Thursday. So I know it says Wednesday there, but just a correction, it's Thursday, October 13th. There was a little bit of shuffling of days, and so we ended up with Thursday, October 13th. So hope that if you're on the leadership team, you make that correction, and hopefully everyone is up to the right date on when we will meet. Also, membership classes still continue. Just a reminder that on the final Sunday of this month, we will have be receiving those new members here, also baptism. So I hope that you come and participate in that. It's important to have, you know, the membership here to welcome those new members in, as well as show our love and support to those making that that commitment that day. So hopefully you'll be here to be a part of that. Also, Bible study continues. We're looking on through the life lessons through Max Lucado, Book of Mark. You're welcome to join. I still have some Bible studies available. We'll meet here this evening at 4:30, and we will continue on through that, which has been really good. Excuse me. Also, month of mission. We are doing that again, where we're taking the month of October, and we're trying to do or be mission-minded. And one of the things we're doing is collecting supplies for Valley Mission in Stanton. And they do a lot of work with the homeless, and they serve a lot of meals there and take in anyone that is in need. So we started to collect some supplies. Some supplies are already up here. I hope that you will be able to shop and bring some things in that we'll deliver to Valley Mission. We are going to take a meal, and Janet looks like she has an announcement about that. Okay. Thank you, Janet. Again, that's on the kitchen door. There's just some items that she's going to need as we look to prepare that meal. And it's nice to take the residents there, people using that facility, a warm meal. And we'll have the youth involved in that, serving the meal. So we look forward to that. Thank you, Janet, for the deacon's work and also for the children's ministry as well, as they work hand in hand to make our month of mission a success. And there's also a list on the narthex on the bulletin, a list of items that can be purchased and brought. And so use that as a reference or a guide. But you know, we hope to have a good group of or a good supply of things to take to them come the end of October. Also, note there that the 19th, we're having a woodcutting day at Randy Simmons' house. That's on the 19th, Wednesday, and so it's kind of through the week. I know a lot of people not everyone can make that, but if you can be a part of that, I certainly encourage you to come. And if you have questions, you can talk to me following the service. Any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather as your church here this morning. Lord, we worship you. We praise your Son, Jesus. We are here to glorify his name. In the name of Jesus, we praise here this morning. And we just pray a blessing upon this service. Pray a blessing upon each person here. Lord, pray a blessing upon those that can't be with us for various reasons. And Father, we just seek to serve and honor you in all that we do and say here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand together and share in this morning's call to worship. You'll find this inside of your bulletin coming from portions of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's turn our hymnal to page 372, Living for Jesus. Page 372.
Oh.
be seated. Whew, we got our lungs opened up there, didn't we? That song about winded me. It was so long. I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up some prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share. A couple I have on my list. Seems to be a lot of sickness going around right now. We have several that have been diagnosed with COVID. Some are dealing with the flu. Some have been dealing with RSV. And so we just have a lot of people to keep in our prayers. If you would, keep Joanne Teeter in your prayers. She had been diagnosed with COVID, although they said she doesn't have any symptoms, or not. Yeah, not serious symptoms, anyways. Yeah. Well, good. Right. So, Clark, thanks for keeping us updated there. We pray for Joanne and. Also, Lee tested positive for COVID, and so she wasn't feeling well last week. I think she is having symptoms, so Lee Landis. So if you would, keep Lee in your prayers. In fact, several women weren't able to go on to the women's conference on Saturday because they were sick. Lee was one of those that was unable to attend because she had tested positive for COVID, so... we're certainly lifting Joanne and Lee. Also, Dale, he's been sick as well, and their family, Clark's brother. So he said he had RSV, which is a respiratory issue. And last weekend, we had little Della in the hospital, Brent Cook's daughter, Della Cook, and she had RSV. And so she's doing better now. She's home. And we praise the Lord for that, for their family. I know Brent said that several of them had been feeling ill as well. So just a lot of things going around, a lot of sickness, and we just lift up those that are sick, and we just pray for their healing and for them to get well soon. I think the women have a praise for the women's conference. I heard it was good. Deborah came home and was sharing stories about it, and so... we just praise the Lord for the good experience that they had there, the opportunity to worship with all those women. I think Deborah said there was maybe 4,000 people there. Quite a big church, isn't it? It was packed. It was a big church, and it was packed. I don't think we could quite fit 4,000 in here. What a blessed time you guys had. And Deborah came back sharing a lot of positive stories about her experience there, the speakers that were there. And we just praise the Lord for opportunities like that to fellowship and worship with other people. And so we're just thankful for that. Also, the driver, I heard, did a good job. So we're thankful for that, too. Kenny volunteered to drive the ladies there. They left here at like 5:15 in the morning, awful early. But they got there, and Kenny got them there safe and back. So, Kenny, we appreciate you. Your willingness to do that, and your church van. And did anybody have trouble spotting Kenny when you were looking for him to leave? They were looking at Kenny thinking, who do they have driving them? Oh, my goodness, that pink beard. So, Kenny, we appreciate that. Thanks for getting them there. Kenny's a professional driver, though, by trade, so we knew you would do fine. And we thank you, Kenny, for that, and for Sherry as well, for taking them there and using your van there. So we appreciate that. Okay, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else?
Cindy and I took Mom and Daddy last week to weekend.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Good to see both of them here this morning, too. So glad that you're doing a little better and glad to see you here. Other praises or prayer requests?
I'd like to continue Janet. Prayer for my niece, Sherry.
Okay. If you would, continue to put Janet's niece, Sherry, on your list for prayer for cancer treatments as she goes through the process of that. So, of course, reminds us to continue to pray for Jean and for her wellness as well. Others? Yet we continue to pray for Joyce Clatterball. She is doing a little better. In fact, every time I go to see her, this past week I was there with her, and it seemed like she could talk a little more with me. She still got a ways to go for recovery, for sure. But I see improvements every week, so praise the Lord for that. I know that's answered prayers, and we certainly want to continue to pray for Joyce and lift her up in prayers. Also for Leon, we're thankful that he's here with us this morning. He had surgery on his hand, so be careful when you go to shake Leon's hand. Make sure you use the right, the left. You need to use the left hand when you shake Leon's hand because he's had surgery on his right hand. And we're just glad he's doing good and he's here this morning. So that's a blessing. Anyone else? Call forth on our ushers now to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we seek you this morning, Lord, to praise you, to glorify you. Lord, you are truly a blessing in our life. Lord, you are so loving and so gracious to us. Lord, you are the rock in our life. Lord, you are the firm foundation in which we stand. And Lord, we seek to praise you and glorify you here this morning. Lord, you were willing to take upon yourself, even your own very Son, our sin, Lord, and pay for the penalty of that sin upon a cross. Lord, he was willing to die in our place. And Lord, he was willing to offer us salvation and forgiveness and grace and mercy for our sin. Lord, we can't thank you enough for a beautiful Savior in which we have received, Lord, which you have given us. And Father, we praise and glorify the name of Jesus here this morning. Lord, we lift up those on our prayer list. Lord, be with each name that was offered and mentioned. Lord, those that are in our mind and those that are unspoken. Lord, we continue to lift these people up to you, Lord, that your will might be done. And Lord, that your healing might take place in people's lives that are so badly in need of it. And Father, we just place them before your altar and ask and seek your mercy, your grace, and your healing for those that need it. Lord, for our offertory, Lord, we just continue to thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us, even as we look towards Thanksgiving now and kind of are heading towards that day, Lord. We just are mindful of all the blessings that we have, how much you have given us, how much you continue to provide for us daily. And for that, Lord, we just give you great thanks and praise as only you deserve it. Lord, we thank you. Bless us, I pray, in the remainder of this service and this worship time together. Speak to our hearts even as we turn to your word again and look to your servant David. I just pray that his life story will encourage us, Lord, that his life story will, Lord, kind of drive us forward and encourage us in our Christian faith. That, Lord, we go through up times and down times, Lord, we go through struggles, but Father, with your help, your guidance, Lord, we can finish our race and finish well. And we just praise you here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank the youth for helping with the offertory. Wasn't that nice? We appreciate that. Okay, the one thing they were looking for from me was our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth ministry can be dismissed at this time. And if you're still here with me, I want you to turn in your Bible back to our servant David. We're picking up here with David in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And looking, starting at verse 2, we're going to read a story here about David. Remember last week we picked up with him and he was on the run from his angry and jealous King Saul, who wanted to put David to death. And David, he was very wise in dealing with Saul, and he dealt with him very wisely. But we see that that wasn't enough for Saul to stop him from coming after or seeking David's life. In fact, David is still on the run. As this story takes place, we see David not there in the capital of Jerusalem with Saul or King Saul, like all things have been mended, but we see David out on the plains, out in the wilderness, and trying to make kind of a life for himself there, hiding from King Saul. So that's kind of where we pick up the background. And we're going to see a story here about David, David and the wife of Nabal. Picking up in verse 2, and this comes right after the loss of a prophet, Samuel, who this book is titled after, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, but this prophet Samuel has passed away here in the first verse. And we move to verse 2 then. And it says, "Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful in appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb." Verse 4, "When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, 'Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I've heard that you have shears, and your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes. For we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servant and to your son David. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. And then Nabal answered David's servant and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master." Verse 11. "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. And then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them." Verse 15, "But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, knowing and consider what your will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." And then Abigail made haste, and she took 200 loaves of bread and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already dressed and 5 seahs of roast grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming to you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as they rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill. And there was David and his men coming down towards her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave 1 male of all who belong to him by morning light." Verse 23, "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, 'On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ear and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is within him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemy and those who seek harm from my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord.'" Verse 28, "Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for the Lord an enduring house, because the Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of your heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left of Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Verse 36. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. And so it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal and his wife had told him these things that his heart died within him and he became like a stone. And then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servants from evil, for the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. Verse 40, when the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you and to ask you to become his wife. And then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servant of my Lord. And so Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maids, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. What a story, right? What a story here we see of this interaction between this Nabal, kind of 3 people here really, Nabal and Abigail and, of course, David. We see this story taking place here that as David was needing provisions for his great army, well, I guess he had a couple hundred men, right? And he was needing provisions for them. He seen opportunity when this guy Nabal, this businessman, when he came to Carmel to shear his sheep, he seen that he was close enough to David that he would kind of send guys to collect what was owed him. That's right, what was owed him. David had served this guy Nabal, hadn't he? He had served his shepherds and kind of kept watch and protected the sheep. Now this was something that was needed in that day. There was lots of bands of people, of robbers running around. And so having David there to protect Nabal's fortune, his sheep and his goats and all that was that he had, was quite a service that David was providing for Nabal. And so when he was close, he kind of seen that when Nabal was close in Carmel shearing the sheep, and this he was reaping the harvest and shearing the sheep. David seen that it was time for him to go get paid. And so he sent these 10 guys with the instructions that that they should seek payment from this rich Nabal for all their work. And he did it in the most humble way too, didn't he? If you look at verse 6 there, it says, thus you should say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. So David isn't being rude here, is he? He's not demanding something that he's not owed. He's not doing something evil to this Nabal. But he had performed a task. He had worked for him. And he was seeking payment. Now there's nothing wrong with that, is it? If you work a week's work, shouldn't you then be owed that week's work for whatever you have agreed upon? So that's kind of what's happening here. And so David comes and very humbly asked for his payment and that he might join together with the feast that was taking place here because of the shearing in Carmel. But Nabal, he was a very wicked man, wasn't he? He's from Maon, which Maon literally translates the house of sin. And that fits Nabal very well because Nabal, we see, was a very sinful man. He was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. He had this beautiful wife, Abigail. You know, the phrasing there, beautiful wife, it's only used three times in the Bible. Well, three people. One was with Rachel in the book of Genesis. One time is with Esther about how beautiful she is. And then right here with Abigail. So you're looking at the three most beautiful women in the Bible by appearance. And so she was very beautiful. And he was very rich, but he was a very bad person. He didn't really deserve any of these things, but he had accumulated them one way or the other. And he was very rich. He was very wicked. And Abigail was a very virtuous woman we see here. And she was very wise. Not only beautiful, but she was very wise. Now, what I want to draw from the scriptures this morning is in these three different individuals is that the things that we sow, we reap. The title of the sermon is Reaping What You Sow, and that's what the Bible says. You reap what you sow, correct? If you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh is what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. For God is not moved, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Notice this comes from the New Testament. So this is not just Old Testament law here. This is a New Testament principle. "For whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to the flesh," the Bible says, "he will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." The Bible would go on to say in Hosea that "for if one sows to the wind, they will reap the whirlwind." Maybe you've heard that saying before. It's this idea that if you live a sinful life, if you are an evil person, a foolish person, if you commit evil acts, you sow to the flesh, then you will reap that sort of consequence in your life. Now, someone asked me kind of an interesting question. They said, "What's the difference between reaping what you sow and karma?" Have you heard that before? You ever heard someone say, "Oh, that's karma. That's bad karma there. Doing something evil, and this karma means that it's going to come back around." Well, boy, I had to think about that a little bit. I couldn't necessarily give an answer on the spot. But the one thing that I can tell you is that when it comes to karma, that originates from the Hindu religion. And reaping what you sow originates from the Christian religion. Now, you might not think that that has a big deal. Oh, well, that's no big deal at all. Well, in Hinduism, they believe in reincarnation. So that makes a big difference, doesn't it, when it comes to karma. That means in the Hindu faith, when they're talking about karma, you know, kind of getting what you deserve, they're not only just talking about what you're doing now. You could be suffering from a previous life or a life before that. That's what the Hindu religion teaches. Now, that's not what the Christian Bible teaches. That's not what God taught us. There is no previous life. There's a life to come. Our spirit goes on into eternal life. But there's no prior life. And we're not suffering the consequences of some prior life. You know, in karma they'll say, "Well, that poor child suffers because they must have done something evil in the life before." Now that's very different than what reaping what you sow is teaching here. Now there are some principles that overcross, but it's very different because they're coming from two different perspectives. And when you get into the Hindu religion, you're adding a whole lot to it that you're not necessarily placing into reaping what you sow. But that's what I want to talk about, you know, reaping what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the corruption of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap, of course, the Bible says, eternal life. Now, there's three different people in our story here, and they kind of sow their life in different ways. And of course, they reap different results. Now, the first is the fool, Nabal, right? And he sows to his life foolishness. The Bible tells us that the fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and they despise instruction. And here we see David kind of coming and asking for something of Nabal. We see him kind of wanting payment for what he served, how he served Nabal. And of course, Nabal is being quite foolish. And he's not wanting to give David what is due him. He's wanting to keep all that for himself. He's very wealthy and he doesn't want to let the wealth go. You know, Nabal is of poor reputation and he's of poor character, isn't he? There's a difference between reputation and character. Somebody said, reputation is what other people think of you. Character is what God thinks of you. And this man Nabal was poor in both those ways. I don't think God was thinking too highly of him, nor was other people. In fact, you can see his own wife comes out here and calls him a fool. Even his very name meant foolishness. That's what she says, that he's kind of living up to his name. He's foolish. He's from a city that is means a place of sin. And he's from a tribe or a group of people. Caleb really transferred as tribe of dogs. That's about the lowest you can get. So really, everything about this guy, from his name, I don't know who named him that. Maybe it was a name that people gave him, Nabal, this foolish person. But everything about him, where he lived and how he conducted himself, he was quite foolish in his living. And he was even playing the fool here when David sent these men to receive his payment for the work done. He plays the fool. He says, I don't know who David is. Now, do you believe that Nabal didn't know who David was? I think everybody in Israel knew who David was. They were singing songs about David. David was the man that killed the giant. Think of that. He was a modern-day hero. He was a war hero. He was a teen idol, maybe, of that day. You know, people knew David. And even Nabal says here, you know, talking about from the house of Jesse, he knew exactly who he was, but he's playing the fool. He's acting like, I don't know who this is, and I don't owe him anything. And of course, that angers David so much that he's ready to literally go out and kill this man. But this Nabal was pretty much a slime ball, wasn't he? He was a successful businessman, but he did things the wrong way. He took advantage of other people. He's taking advantage of David here. He was a callous person, and people did not like him. Even his own wife did not like him. You look to verse 25 there. It says, please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal, the fool. Nabal was a fool and he sowed to the wind, and we notice here that he reaps the whirlwind. Look at verse 38 and 39. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Lord judged him, didn't he? He sowed wickedness within his life, he sowed to the flesh, and he reaped corruption. You sow what you reap, or you reap what you sow, rather. And so we see here he sowed wickedness, he sowed this evil in his life, and God judged him because of this evil. His life was taken from him. His life was cut short because of the evil he sowed. And of course, David then rejoices. So we have the foolishness of this guy, Nabal. And he sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption. I want you to look, though, now at the rashness of King David, future King David. And this rashness comes that he jumps to judgment. He's ready to kill Nabal for this sin that he's that he's doing against David. And David is jumping to judgment. He's in anger and he's girding his sword and he's ready to go out and to take Nabal's head off and to kill not only him but all his household. In fact, he was not going to leave even one male alive. That means that there would be no future Nabal to go forward. That David's going to kill all of them. And so he girds up his swords and he heads off to do this. And he's even on the way traveling to do that when he's stopped. But this is this rashness of David. And he's starting to sow something bad. But fortunately, he was stopped here by Abigail. David says in verse 13, "Every man gird his sword." In verse 21, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing and that all belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good." And he was angry. I guess the question is, does David have the right to be angry? I think he does. He should be angry with this guy. Man, he provided service for Nabal. Nabal took advantage of him. Nabal's playing the fool. And he's acting like David didn't do anything for him. David has every right to be angry here, doesn't he? He has every right to be upset with Nabal. He has every right to do all these things. But he doesn't have the right to go and kill Nabal, does he? That's where it enters into sin. David's not depending on God to kind of bring down vengeance upon Nabal. David's saying, I'm going to go do it myself. We talked last week about being the judge, juror, and executioner of others. This is kind of following up, isn't it? Just another story that's building on that. Here we see David, you know, go from not being the judge, juror, and executioner of Saul. He's seen the wisdom there, and then he goes right from that, and then he makes the same very mistake. He's ready to go and put vengeance on this guy. He's not saying vengeance is the Lord. He's saying vengeance is mine. I'm going to go and kill this guy, Nabal, for the way that he is treating me. That I'm going to go and solve this problem. How many times have we been in a position where someone angers us or someone does something wrong to us and we take it in our own hands to say, you know what, I'm going to show them. I'm going to do something to hurt them. I'll get them back. I'll get even with them. Now, is it our place to get even with everyone that harms us? I tell you, if we live in a world like that, it's going to be quite violent, isn't it? We better start preparing and digging our bunkers. We live in a world where we just act out our own vengeance on those who wrong us. David was in sin. He was acting rash. He was acting irrational. He was sowing something bad, wasn't he? And he was going to reap something from that later on, as even Abigail reminds him here. But thank God for someone like Abigail that steps up and keeps David from committing this heinous sin. Abigail meets David on the road and she appeases him and talks him down kind of from the edge of committing this atrocity against her husband Nabal and all of his family. Well, that included her too, right? I think she was going to be part of the vengeance of David. I think he was going to kill the innocent with the wicked. That's the problem when we take vengeance out and try to act for God in hurting others or judging others. We might judge the innocent and we don't know that. And unknowingly judge the innocent. And that's what David was about to do here. He was rash. And he sowed this rashness and he reaped, not necessarily sin, but he did reap embarrassment, didn't he? He was embarrassed by this situation and even shame that he was unable to control his temper. But he sure thanked Abigail. Look at verses 32 and 33. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand." He was very thankful. Blessed are you, Abigail. Blessed are you for you coming. Blessed are you for saying these things. Blessed are you in your wisdom. Boy, we need people around us like that, don't we? Christian individuals, godly people, that in our time of folly, in our time of acting irrational, that they'll come and say, you know, get your head back on. What are you doing? You're about to commit sin against God. What a blessing to have Abigail in this story. That's the last one. Wise Abigail. You got the foolish, the rash, and now the wise. Abigail is this very wise woman. Boy, she'd make a great Mother's Day sermon, really. But she's this very wise woman, wise maybe well beyond her years. And she came and sought to seek David in this time of vengeance and brought him gifts. And shared with him that this sin he was about to commit was going to be a sin against his own self and against his own God. And of course, David seen that he was acting foolish. And Abigail was very wise. She sowed wisdom in this situation. And what did she reap? Well, she got to keep her head for one, right? She wasn't killed by David and the army or the band of guys that were coming with him. But not only that, notice here that she finds herself as a wife of David. She finds herself at the table of the king as he came into power. She was a wife that he took. Abigail, he took her as a wife. It says there, "For the Lord has returned," in verse 39, "wickedness of Nabal and his own head, and David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife," and he did that very thing. She sowed wisdom and she reaped the benefits of that wisdom. She didn't sow to the flesh, she acted very wise, and she reaped what she sowed. And David was her husband, and she was his wife. Boy, just to sow to the wind, reap the whirlwind. Sow to the flesh, reap the corruptions of the flesh. Sow to the things of the Spirit, the Bible says, reap eternal life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I guess the question is, where are we sowing our life? Where are we planting our life? Are we sowing our life to the things of the Spirit? Are we sowing ourselves to the things of the flesh, the worldly things? Do we spend more time thinking about the worldly things? About how we might be rich like Nabal? That's kind of what got him, wasn't it? I think his richness played some part into Nabal being a bad person. That's not to say rich people are bad people. But there is a certain allure to riches that is very corrupting. And Nabal, he liked his riches more than he liked God. He sowed to the things of the world, didn't he? He sowed to the things of the flesh, and he reaped death. He reaped judgment of God. I tried to spiritualize it in some sense of seeing the gospel story in there, because in Abigail, you see one that was willing to surrender herself to bring about redemption and salvation. And you see Christ in Abigail. You see God in David, that he's this judge that's going to judge the sin of Nabal. And friends, we're Nabal. That Bible says we're all sinners. It didn't. We're all evil. There's none good, none of us. Yeah, we all sin. We all fall short. But thank God we have Abigail, or we have Christ that intercedes. He comes to God and he makes an offering so that judgment won't fall upon us. Isn't that beautiful? Even right there, you can see the gospel of Christ shining forth in this very story. It's just amazing. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this blessed story and all that it speaks to us. Father, we just pray that we are sowing in our life to the Spirit. Lord, we're not wasting our time and being foolish like Nabal, seeking riches or some other thing. But Lord, that we're seeking to put you first in our life, and we're seeking to serve you. And Lord, we know as much as we do that, Lord, that we will truly reap the eternal things that are in you, even eternal life. Father, we praise you now. Thank you for this story again. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand now and gather in our closing hymn. And I think how we'll do this. We will just sing the first and last verses, both with the refrain. Yeah. Yeah, both with the refrain. So let's stand together now and sing. Page 380, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go forth out into this world, Lord, just pray your Spirit guides us, Lord, and pray that we continue to look to you in all that we do and say, Lord, and just pray that we continue to sow in our lives the right sort of things, that, Lord, we want to reap the blessings of a life that is dedicated to you, a life that is filled with your good things, your joy and your love and your grace. Lord, we want our life to be reaping those sorts of things. But Father, we know we can't achieve it unless we're sowing our life in the right way. Lord, I just pray that each person here has heard your call and your plea this morning to devote their lives, to invest their lives, to plant their lives, Lord, into the good things of you and your Spirit. Lord, as much as they do that, I know they will reap a good harvest. Father, bless us, I pray, as we depart. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.